This is the 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of the 10th Voice. I'm Una, here with my co-hosts Fiona and Anthony.
Hello.
Hello.
And behind the board today is our eminent sound engineer and producer, Linda Wilson, whose microphone I keep stealing every week.
As usual.
We always have a full house here on Trans Talk, and I think that's really awesome. We're going to start the show off with the transgender news of the runt. News of the runt. Wow.
Well, that's one little thing to call him.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking of a ditch of puppies, but...
Transgender news of the month. Wow, that's bad radio. And then we'll speak with Isabel, a young woman who would like to share her coming out story with our audience. Then we will speak to Courtney, a local woman who recently faced a terrifying and demoralizing level of discrimination as she was thrown out of a local casino for simply trying to use the ladies' room. After hearing Courtney's story, we will have a short discussion about the Supreme Court's anti-transgender ruling this week. Anthony will do a book review, and Fiona will finish up with a community calendar update. But first, let's go on to the transgender news of the month. Hello and welcome back to Trans Talk, both of our listeners out there. And we are very pleased to have in our studio kind of a repeat guest, but also a non-repeat guest. We heard about her by reference. Last month on Trans Talk, our guest Robin Nazarian read an essay written by a young woman named Isabel that started out as a school assignment and became her coming out story. And we were so touched by hearing it read here on Trans Talk, and we had a lot of comment from you, our listeners out there, more than both of you, that we decided to ask Isabel to come on the show and just talk a little bit about the background of how she ended up doing this. So Isabel, welcome to Trans Talk.
Hi.
Now, I want to emphasize that Isabel didn't actually come out as transgender, but we thought since this is the 10th Voice, it was a very good time to have her on the show and follow up on this. So tell us a little bit about how this whole thing got started.
I wanted to write an opinion piece for my newspaper, and I wanted it to be something I felt really strongly about and could write a lot about and that people needed to hear.
Was this for the school newspaper or your local newspaper?
My school newspaper.
And so when you wrote the opinion piece, did you start out wanting to make it into a coming out story, or did it just sort of evolve that way?
It just kind of evolved. It just helped my point, I guess.
What was your point?
My point was that you shouldn't use gay as an insult.
Was this prompted by something that had happened at the school, or by things that had happened in the past at the school?
Not anything specifically, just the word kind of thrown out in a negative way that I didn't like.
And you weren't out before you read the essay, so when you would hear people use it casually, like, you know, those sneakers are really gay, especially if they're $400 Caitlyn Jenner edition, that people don't realize how painful that can be.
Yeah, I don't really talk to a lot of people. I'm really quiet at school, so I couldn't really say anything.
So you found your voice through your writing.
Yes, I really like writing.
So, was the essay published in the school newspaper? They didn't have a problem with that?
Yeah, it was published.
What sort of reaction did you receive from teachers and other students?
One, my art teacher really liked it, but I didn't really get any other comments from students or teachers. Kind of.
Except for all the girls flirting with you now. Typical lesbian fashion, she's clueless.
Oh, really? Robin, do you know something about this? Robin, introduce yourself and what your connection is to Isabel.
I'm Robin Nazarian. I am the singer of Evil Pillows, and Isabel is my friend's daughter. So that's how we know each other.
And you made her blush, which two or three listeners can't see it being radio, but...
I've heard stories relayed through Father.
Now, was there something specific about Isabel's essay that prompted you to bring it with you last time and read it over the air?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was, like, a really good piece. It's not something that... Like,
yes, it was.
...typically, like, a teenager would write, especially not, like, what are you, 15? Yeah, a 15-year-old would write. So, like, just, like, seeing that and, like, that being, like, a coming-out story was, like, really, really cool because, I mean, I didn't come out until I was, like, already practically an adult. And, like, I knew a lot of kids that also didn't come out until that point. So seeing, like, a kid do that and, like, also be like, hey, by the way, quit using this slur was, like, that was, like, really impressive. So I wanted to share that with a lot of people.
You said you haven't heard a lot of people react to it, but have you heard less people using the slur around you?
I'm not sure. I usually have my earbuds in at school.
Wow, that's such a culture shock from when I went to school way back. Well, when I'm not going to say when.
Did you have school then?
Wow, okay. There's a lot to unpack in what you just said.
And Linda added, no one got to hear it, but she said, actually multi-room schools?
We had one room around a coal stove. We had to keep warm in the winter.
They did invented coal?
Anyways, moving on. So, Isabel, did any of your friends know before you wrote the essay, or did your parents know?
All my family knew, and my close friends knew as well.
What was their reaction to being so public, though, about coming out? Because even though things are a bit more friendly, I guess, I mean, they're not great for people in our community right now, but they used to suck a lot more, you know. Was there some concern that it might draw attention to you or be a risk to your safety?
No, my parents.
The teacher like tried to get you to not print it like 4 times.
Oh, really?
So friends and family were fine with it, but yeah. The teacher was concerned.
The newspaper teacher was concerned about me coming out, but I didn't really mind because I never really told anybody my sexuality before. So if they assumed something, it was
so she thought she was protecting you, but even if she meant the best, it was actually kind of silencing you a little bit, or trying to.
Yeah, it kind of frustrated me because I really wanted to write something for the newspaper.
Did the whole experience inspire you to talk more about your experience or to be more out when you meet other people?
I'm not sure. I didn't really meet a lot of people.
Okay. Well, I guess when you meet other people in your closeted sanctuary with your earbuds in or whatever, are you the only one that you know of that's out at your school, or are there lots of people that are out?
I don't know for sure, but I know there are other out people.
Because Robin was indicating that lots of girls were flirting with you.
That did not happen.
That totally happened. Your dad told me about it. It was really funny that you just didn't pick up on it.
I don't know what she's talking about.
Because she's clueless.
One day, in 10 years or so, someone will say something to you, and you'll realize, oh, they actually were flirting with me. And wonder how many people you're missing flirting with you now.
Yeah, like my mother still points guys flirting with me. Of course, they're straight, so I'm not interested in them. Too bad.
Isabel, I want to know, where do you go from here? Were you inspired by the experience of writing for your newspaper to do more of that or get into media, or was it just something that you felt like you had to say at the time?
I'm definitely doing more things with newspaper, and I want to do other stuff as well.
Such as what?
I'm not sure yet.
I hear that there's these...
Yeah.
I hear there's these things called radio transmissions that people can come on sometimes and do guest spots. KKFI is really good about letting people come on and do individual story segments just to get experience and practice and speak their truth. So you could consider that, too.
Maybe once a quarter or something, come on and read a guest essay.
That sounds really fun.
We have a lot of opportunities here at KKFI because we are trying to be the voice of the community, and I want to thank you very much for being the voice of our community via what you wrote in your school paper, Isabel. Wish that I wish personally that I could have been as brave as you to do something like that when I was 15, but it was a different era after all, so nonetheless, it had to have taken a lot of strength.
Don't feel bad, Una. I wouldn't have done that in my middle school either, and that was only, what, 5 years ago?
Wow, you're so young. I'm surrounded by young people here. Even Linda's younger than me, I think. I just heard a...
There was a loud snort of laughter from there. So you've made her laugh at least twice today.
Very good. I always strive for that. Isabel, thank you so much for joining us on here. I asked Isabel to read her essay. It is in our podcast from last month. Isabel has read it so many times. She said she was kind of tired of reading it again, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not trying to cut her off here, but she just said, enough reading the same essay. Maybe you can write something else about your experience and come back on the air and give us an exclusive and let us broadcast you.
I would love to. This has been really fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Isabel, very much. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and bring on our next guest up to the table here so we can talk about a really serious incident that happened here in the Kansas City area. I want to lead by giving a couple of statistics. According to the National Transgender Discrimination Survey, 31% of trans persons have been denied service, denied equal treatment, verbally harassed, physically attacked, or worse, on the basis of their gender identity or gender presentation. Nowhere is this more of a safety concern than for transgender individuals in public bathrooms, where 26% of transgender persons were denied access to restrooms, had their presence in a restroom questioned, and or were verbally harassed, physically attacked, or sexually assaulted. Even among those who claim to have passing privilege, 16% reported harassment, threats, or assaults in the year prior to the survey. I'd have to say that among the hundreds of trans people that I know, that 26% number seems very underrepresented. I would have to say it's more than 50%.
I actually have not met a single trans person that has not been harassed in a bathroom.
I've met a few somewhere, I think in another state. I don't know. I actually haven't been harassed in a bathroom myself.
You've been harassed elsewhere.
I've been harassed elsewhere, yes. So our guest, Courtney, who has been very kind to join us today, had a harrowing experience this month at a local casino where she was confronted by a security person after using the ladies' room, then asked to leave the casino for not having changed the gender marker on her ID. She's joining us here in the studio today to talk about, well, both her life and the incident that brought her squarely into the fracas for transgender rights. Courtney, welcome to Trans Talk.
Hello, thank you.
I'd like to start just with a little bit of background about yourself and your journey. How long have you been on this journey to realize your authentic self?
Well, I would have to say since probably 4 or 5 years old, realistically. Well, not realistically, actually, but my transition actually started in September of 16 is when I finally just said, this is it. I found the resources that I needed. And I've just been moving forward since then with my transition. And so fast the time has went by, thinking the whole time that things weren't ever going to be possible. And then the last minute, things just became possible, like with my transition surgery.
It just kind of snowballs really quickly for some people. Once you, a therapist, Carolyn Gibbs, described it as trying to hold a beach ball underwater at a swimming pool. And then when you finally release the pressure, it just all comes exploding out all of a sudden.
Exactly. And she was my therapist.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
She's an awesome lady. I love her.
Yeah, we're both Carolyn's daughters, in effect.
So there must be someone then that's older than you, if you're her daughter.
That's true. Carolyn must be older than me. But I'm not going to talk about that because I love Carolyn. So you've actually gone all the way through the process of having your gender confirmation surgery.
Yes, I have.
And that was before the incident at the casino, the Hollywood Casino in Kansas City, Kansas, if I recall correctly.
Yes, it was, a couple weeks before.
So, wow, that must have been... Well, kudos to you for being ambulatory and moving around that soon after surgery, because I know some gals are still sitting on the little ring-shaped... Donut. Yeah, the donut-shaped pillow for a month later, but...
I actually do have a question. Is it actually legal in Missouri to use the, in quotes, incorrect bathroom?
In Missouri or Kansas?
In Missouri or Kansas.
In both states, there is actually no law that specifically mandates that anyone must use one bathroom or another. It falls under trespassing statutes, where an owner can throw someone out for virtually any reason that's not prohibited by law. And, of course, in Kansas City, Kansas, there is a non-discrimination ordinance on the books. And we'll talk about that a little bit more here, as I'd like to, if you could just talk about the day that it happened. You know, what? How did everything lead up to this event?
Well, I went with a couple friends, and we went to the casino, and they wanted to do some gambling. Of course, I didn't.
Was the Hollywood Casino.
This is the Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Ran by Penn Gaming. And so I was just walking around. I have a friend who actually works there, too, and she lives in Lawrence. She's a dealer, and her husband works there, too. So after a couple hours, I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I've been using the women's restroom my whole time, literally my whole transition.
And had you ever been to this specific casino before?
I have been to this casino before and used the bathroom there and nothing. So I wasn't sure where. I was kind of blindsided by this. And especially since it was after my surgery and what I was wearing that day. And it just wasn't any particular normal day. You know, just I just wake up and comb my hair and walk out of the house. I was looking rather fabulous, I would say. Black mini skirt, black skirt, nice blouse, heels, just it wasn't an everyday outfit you throw on.
Sure. Well, you look really good today in studio.
Thank you.
We don't have a studio cam for everyone out there, but Courtney looks great.
So I went in there and did my business, and I come out of the stall and I noticed someone standing there. And I looked at her, and I walked up to the sink, and I'm trying to deal with this button on the back of my blouse, and then she starts talking to me, and then she says, well, I want to talk to you out here. I was like, about what? Hmm. And she says, butted right in. I said, oh, you want to see my ID? You want to see my gender marker says? And she goes, yes. I said, why is that? And she said, well, we have a casino policy. I said, okay, I'll be out there in a minute. So I was in the bathroom, and just before I walked out, I turned my camera on my phone, and I recorded the whole conversation.
I saw some of the video when Channel 5 ran the report on your experience, although I have to say Channel 5 spent an awful lot of time showing photos of the old you, which, as I like to say, is ironically the younger you, but I thought that was really, it was cringeworthy the way they treated you, I think. But so she said that the casino had a policy. Did she elaborate at the time what the policy was?
She said that the policy stated that patrons must use the restroom that matches their gender marker.
Well, that seems odd, because it seems like from my reading of the Unified Government's regulations and ordinances that would be in opposition to the law. I'm sure there's no way, though, that they intended to violate the law. I mean, right?
You wouldn't think so.
I know. What's up with that? Hollywood Casino? What's going on?
Maybe their corporate lawyer was asleep at the wheel.
That could be. They need sleep sometimes.
Or like people will do illegal things and the law will not stop them.
So she first confronted you inside the bathroom as you were at the sink trying to do up the button on your blouse. Then the two of you went outside and you started recording the incident, and I saw that. And then it seemed, from what I saw from the recording, she continued to harass you.
Pretty much. Basically said that, you know, you either use that bathroom, or we have a family bathroom. And I blatantly told her, I said, well, I'm not using neither one of those because I belong in here.
Unless you call yourself a family of one, I guess.
Right. So, and she said, we can accommodate you in the family restroom whenever
really?
You like. Yeah. So I said, well that
separate but equal. Did she say you had to use a separate drinking fountain too, like a trans-only drinking fountain, and you had to go to like a different buffet to get their crappy food and everything?
Right.
And
no. What's funny is I know they have trans employees that work there too, and it's one of their other casinos. And with the employee laws, they have to go by, you know, there's the employee laws. They can't discriminate on them. But yet they want to try to discriminate against patrons who are transgender.
So eventually this person, a female security guard, asked you to leave the casino. Is that correct?
Basically, she said, yeah, if you're not going to show me your ID, then I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I said, oh, I'm going to show you my ID, and I'm going to leave.
Did at any time she put hands on you?
No. Nobody never touched me, but there was more than one standing around. There were all around. Like they were there. And I was just thinking to myself, this could get very interesting if I wanted to. But I just kind of let them have their little spill. And I told her, I said some choice things to her because I was starting to get angry, starting to get very mad.
Well, of course. It's also scary, too, to be in that situation. You see incidents of security guards beating people and treating them in all sorts of horrible ways, and somehow they always seem to get away with it, especially being people like us.
Right.
I mean, we're always at the very worst end of the stick, so to speak.
And when you've already gone to the bathroom, the only reason that they even approach you is to just harass you.
Right. If they really thought that they were doing something, I don't know, something substantive, it seems that they would have stopped you before you even went in.
Right.
It's like it's already done.
What's the point?
Yeah, the point is terror. They wanted to create an atmosphere of terror in you so that they could tell you that you're not wanted and skirt around the law, I guess.
Especially
I don't know.
Having a ring of people around her so that she knew that they could get physical and screen it from anyone else even seeing it happening.
Of course, I'm just purely speculating. I haven't heard anything officially back from them. I've tried to contact them. The only statement I've seen was the one that they gave Channel 5, basically saying that there were unisex bathrooms that you could use.
Right.
Which I guess is the family bathroom.
Yep.
Because they haven't yet gone to the extreme measures of saying that a woman cannot, you know, change the diaper on her male child or something. But that could be coming. Because Jesus knows. Jesus is watching.
Yeah, he should stop being creepy and watching everyone in bathrooms.
It's kind of like Santa, you know, sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake. But I'm trying to put a little bit of a humorous spin on what's actually a really dark and must have been scary moment for you. I mean, honestly.
It was. It really was. And I was actually kind of taken back by myself, you know, thinking, what could happen? What could have happened? And I'm proud of myself on how I did react to the situation and not making it worse for myself and definitely for them, because it could have got very bad.
And then they would probably have had you arrested.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then, given the marker on your license, you might have been thrown into male holding cells.
Well, I could get out of that, I think, pretty easy. I carry all my documents with me, so I'd be like, I don't think you want to put me in there.
Depends. Depends on the police that you're dealing with and the department you're dealing with.
There have been cases. I don't know if there have been cases in Kansas, but there have been cases where a transgender woman who's had full gender confirmation surgery has still been placed in a male holding cell. And I don't need to draw you a picture of what happens. It's not pretty.
I also know a young teen trans girl who obviously was being a young teen, was free surgery, but she was put into the male segregated community despite being on hormones and having very clearly made it known that she was trans and having visible breasts. And you can imagine what her experience was like too.
Kind of gives me an idea. I kind of want to test that theory out.
No, you're testing theories. Just change your gender markers to protect
yourself. Well, sometimes that was a question a few people asked. They said, "How?" And I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but they asked, "How do you have surgery but don't have your gender marker changed?"
Well, I'm running into problems on trying to figure out how to do it. I mean, I know it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard whatsoever. I mean, I was born in Jackson County, born in Missouri, so it shouldn't be hard.
But nonetheless, there are significant barriers to changing these markers. It often requires hiring a lawyer, sometimes going to court. I know. I was asking sort of a leading question to get to this topic. It can cost thousands and thousands of dollars sometimes to go through this process, and people are shocked, absolutely shocked, when it takes us a little bit longer to change these documents.
And it all depends on which judge you get in which county. Some of the judges in some of the counties are known for rejecting them automatically, and your lawyer will say, oh, we've got Judge so-and-so, there's no point in even doing it. But of course, unless you file then, you can't do a second one later, because don't have any grounds then for asking for a different judge.
So actually, I changed my legal name in 2017, and I still do not have my legal name on my birth certificate, not because of the judge, not because of any of that, but because every time I call Jefferson City, they give me a different reason, a different procedure to follow to get my name changed on my birth certificate.
So it's no wonder that you run into all these barriers, and then you just end up being punished even further. It's ironic that we've come that far in our society in a topsy-turvy way that sometimes the hardest thing to do is to actually update your identity documents.
It's a very tedious, long, painstaking process. You know, I have the majority of them done. My birth certificate, I didn't even worry about doing my name on that because I was just new for some reason that my gender marker was going to come really soon. Because my name was done in August. It was official in August of 17.
Mm-hmm.
No, the end of July of 17 is when my name was legally changed. And I was like, well, I'm just going to wait, you know, for my surgery. And it happened. Now I'm, like, being told I still need it. I don't understand why I would need to hire an attorney for something that's cut and dry. I mean, I have a document, a piece of paper, have all these papers that says this, and my surgery's been done.
Some people do the process themselves, but it can be very lengthy, and sometimes you miss a step because you're not used to it. So getting someone that's done this umpteen times before can help things go faster and smoother and be less worrying,
right,
but much more expensive. Yeah. Unless there are some attorneys in the area who will do pro bono sliding scale stuff depending on people's means. So
they're often overworked though, because
yes,
the need is so great.
Yes, that greatly slows things
down. Folks in the community even get angry at them, like, well, why can't you do my case pro bono? But I know some of these attorneys, it's like they've already done 20 cases this year, and at some point they got to have a weekend off. Unlike us, who are always here every weekend.
Every week, same that time, same that channel.
I just need one to pay, just to find one that will draw the papers up for me to go file them. And I think, you know, getting the right judge, hopefully in Jackson County, it should be cut and dry. But they just said that the documents need to be drawn up in the right way.
Since you've already got your name change, it shouldn't be as slow as when you go through the name change procedure when you also have to publish, because that could also take time.
Right.
Ironically, other issues that pop up are things like loopholes, like through getting a document from my doctor, I was able to change my gender marker on my driver's license, but because I have not had a surgery, I cannot change it on my birth certificate, which has now caused problems with my passport application.
I can understand that, especially because we're worried now that the Trump administration is going to start denying gender marker changes for trans people, which is one of the reasons it's prompted you to try to get your passport early.
Yes.
So where do you go from here, Courtney? What lies next? I mean, have you been banned from the Hollywood Casino?
No, I haven't been banned.
But I'm not sure why you'd want to go back there,
right,
necessarily.
Exactly.
I mean,
that was what I was going to say is I don't really want to go back, don't care to go back.
I did read online a lot of trans women threatening to go up and use the bathrooms there.
Hey,
after your case happened, but
I'm all for all of us, and I'll lead it. Let's go.
So, anything else that lies ahead for you? I mean, they haven't given you any official response or anything other than that. It seems like you'll probably just have to be like most of us and chalk it up as just part of life being trans in Trump's America.
Right. I'm trying to think. I worked for another company here locally, the place I worked for when I transitioned. Super Christian, they said. When I transitioned, one of the majority owners came to me after a couple of days. And they pulled me in the conference room, and we had a little talk, and he had a couple checks in front of him. Well, one of them was for a large amount, but he said, I want to offer you 12 weeks severance pay just to go away, just to leave. Or he said, I'll give you another position. I said, what's that? He said, night loader. I said, oh. You want to bribe me or hide me, huh? And he goes, no, that's not it. I said, no, that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But I didn't put it so nicely. I didn't put it nicely at all when I said that, when I said it to him.
We appreciate you moderating your language for our radio listeners.
But I needed a job, so I took the night loader position. And I did that till December of 16. And then they found a reason. They found grounds and terminated me. First time ever being in any type of trouble. A friend had came up on a Sunday, and while I was working, it was inside the building. So they let me go for having an unauthorized person in the building. That was an excuse.
Did the night loader position also carry a pay cut?
No pay cut or pay raise.
Yeah, so you didn't get a raise for the antisocial hours. But
no.
They at least didn't cut you and
right.
Take you down to a law until they found an excuse to get rid
right.
of you anyway.
I should have got a pay raise for that job, but no pay raise, no increase, no nothing. Just, okay, now you're going to work by yourself. Here's a key to the building. Here's an alarm code so you can lock it up, and there you go. Take it or leave it.
Unfortunately, it's quite easy still in America to fire people for working while black, serving food while Jewish, or existing while transgender. And it's going to be, unfortunately, a long time before that changes. And it's not just the law that has to change. It has to become unacceptable to moral and ethical people everywhere that these things happen. It has to be unacceptable to them, and moreover, people have to have morality and ethics in the first place to adhere to those principles. Courtney?
They're probably convinced that they do have morals and ethics, and that their morals are much better than the people that actually accept trans people.
Well, that's true. Everyone thinks that they're right, and I mean, people don't get behind things that they think are wrong. That, well, sometimes they do. We like our president. But Courtney, I'd like to really thank you for coming on to Trans Talk and sharing your experience, which I know was really, really hard to do. I mean, I hope that many people out there in the community, which I know there are a lot of listeners out there, that have had a similar experience, being asked to leave an establishment, been denied service, been embarrassed and humiliated in front of other patrons while a security guard stands there and harangues them. I hope they all get some courage or at least some camaraderie from your story.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid.
That is a a really good way to go to a station break here. And we're going to take a short break for some announcements and be right back here on Trans Talk.
Hello and welcome back to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The Tenth Voice. We've just finished up talking with Courtney about her experience with discrimination, and I'm going to do my now monthly book report.
2 months in a row. That's a streak. Yes.
It's amazing, too, because I actually didn't finish reading it until last night, and then I did the report until 1 in the morning, so.
Well, that's better than me. I was at Missy B's till 2:30 in the morning and didn't do much book reporting there.
I'm just a bookworm.
Well, when you turn 21, I'll start getting you used to the 4 a.m. lifestyle. And
yeah. So, this month I read Gender Failure by Ray Spoon, who is a transgender musician and originally from Calgary, Canada, and co-authored by Ivan E. Coyote, a gender nonconforming author and performer and storyteller from Alberta, Canada. The book was written after their successful live show, Gender Failure, and is a collection of powerful short stories and pictures, alternating authors each chapter. The beginning of the book surrounds a lot of heavy subjects, such as being raised in rural areas, in religious families, and the death of close friends. I had a hard time reading through this section and had to stop after each chapter, both because I felt very moved, sad, and at times dysphoric. I will go ahead and put my warnings here that this book contains dysphoria, medical details about top surgery, death, and goes into very detailed descriptions of several types of discrimination. I want to point out that this story, or the majority of it, is in Canada, because I had this fake image of an accepting, lovely Canada that I'm sure others share. However, I want to point this out because trans individuals face just as much discrimination as we do here in the States. In this book, Ray and Ivan experience discrimination from churches, from small towns in rural areas, from separatist women inside gay bars, from gay men on Grindr, from the music industry, from cis women in bathrooms, and I am sure from many more. The fight for trans rights is everywhere. The second half of the book was easier for me to read, and the subjects did not seem as heavy. Perhaps it was just that I was more familiar with the experiences, I'm not quite sure. But it was fairly enjoyable, and I liked that their stories highlighted the experiences of trans and non-binary individuals who are performers. Such trials and tribulations as transphobic venue owners, being misgendered daily while on tour by soundcheck, and the internet's seemingly obsession with boy or girl, just to name a few. Some other topics in the second half include binary pressure, non-binary identities, private life versus media life, identifying as neither gender, drag done by trans men, meaning trans men being drag queens, body positivity, sexism, and erasing it by using they, being mistaken for a teenage boy for almost 20 years, and much more. There's a lot of content in the book, and each story holds a different subject. I would mainly recommend this book for other trans folk, and especially non-binary individuals. I think it's a good representation. To give you an idea of the book and hopefully to spark more good educational conversations, I'm going to read a few quotes that stuck out to me while I was reading. Ivan wrote, "I'd already spent years feeling like I was perched with one foot on a trans-shaped rowboat and the other foot resting on a butch dock, balancing myself and my language and words and work in the space between them. I also knew that as an artist, my job was to create and present the work and then stand aside and let everyone decide for themselves how to interpret my writing and how much of it resonated with them or didn't." That was said in a section of the book where both butch woman comes up to Ivan and tells him how much they appreciate for being a butch woman performer without transitioning. And then within 60 seconds, a trans man coming up to Ivan and going, "I really appreciate that you are a trans man that does not forget about feminism. I don't want to be a trans man and become a misogynistic man just to pass. And actually, I've been identified as neither of those genders, although they use he pronouns, but I found it profound that they said it was up to the audience to decide what resonated with them. Ray wrote, "Violence against women is not something that I am exempt from because I don't identify as a woman. And this resonated with me because I myself have experienced a lot of harassment as I read in public as female, and I wasn't sure how to talk about it or how to bring it up to people's attention that trans men without passing privilege still experience sexual harassment and sexism." And the quote that I'm going to end on was said by Ray and sort of has the context of the gender failure. "I am a gender failure. I failed at the gender binary, unable to find a place in being either a man or a woman with which I felt comfortable. But ultimately, I believe it's the binary that fails to leave room for most people to write their own gender stories." Ray, at the time this book was written, 2014, did not feel the need to medically transition, and they identify as neither gender. Ivan, at the time this book was written, 2014, had top surgery and had no plans of HRT. "No matter what you need to do to feel positive about your body and your gender, that is okay, and your identity is valid."
Thank you, Anthony. That was really, really gave us an insight into the lives of these two individuals. And I was curious if you had read Ray's first book called First Spring Grass Fire.
No, I haven't actually read
that. That was next on your list.
Possibly, yes.
Anthony, that was very well done, and I'm glad that you're highlighting books for non-binary and non-conforming persons as you do this, because very often they get ignored, overlooked, and shortchanged, even within our own community.
I also got this book from the Kansas City Public Library on the fourth floor on 10th and Main.
Well, that's pretty precise. I mean, what shelf was it on exactly?
Well, actually, it was pretty odd because it was in the 920s when the rest of the gender study books and sexual books are in the 360s.
Okay, I was just joking, but you called my bluff. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Well, I'm Fiona Nelling, and this is the Kansas City Community Calendar. Every month, I lead the Kansas City Sofa Group for significant others, friends, family, and allies of transgender and non-binary persons. We meet on the first and third Wednesday of the month, and in February, that's the 6th and the 20th, in the conference room at Leawood Pioneer Library from 6:30 to 8 p.m. For driving directions and other sofa information, you can visit transcitycity.org/sofa. That's S-O-F-F-A. And every third Thursday, the Equal Trans Support Group meets at 5 p.m. They're also having a Friends Plus Allies meeting on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m., and both of them are at the Kansas City Center for Inclusion, just a couple of doors down from our studio at 3911 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And KCCI actually has a lot of events coming up, too many to mention this month, but it includes a fundraiser tomorrow, the Flow fundraiser starting at 8 p.m. at Missy B's, and they're having a new Unity space for LGBTQIA+ college students every Friday at 1 p.m.
I saw something about the Flow fundraiser last night at Missy B's, although I have a lot of gaps in my memory and so forth, but go on.
Memory flow?
My memory is not flowing.
So I was just going to say that if anyone wants to know more information for that and for other events, you can go see their Facebook page at www.facebook.com/inclusivekc. And I was going to finish up by reminding people that the community calendar in full will be appearing on the 10th Voice Facebook page. And that is always out there every month with details for our shows and upcoming events. And if anyone has any extra special events that they want adding to the community calendar, please message us through the 10th Voice Facebook page so we can get them added to our regular review.
Yes, we love to help people get the word out and know where they can get help, know where they can get information, and know where they can get community because we are, after all, Kansas City Community Radio.
And I didn't see any special LGBTQIA Valentine's events posted out on Facebook, but hopefully there will be things for the community.
Well, that's kind of sad, like back in grade school when everyone gets the Valentine except for you.
No one choo-choo-choos to you?
I actually rarely got Valentines except for the cases where the teachers would force everyone, you must give a Valentine to everyone in class or you'll have to skip recess. People would actually skip recess to avoid giving me anything.
Thankfully, they didn't do stuff like that at any of my schools in England. No forced sexual experiences for school children.
Forced sexual experience. Didn't you go to that all-girls school where you had nude pillow fights every night and everything in Switzerland somewhere?
Oh, yes. My secret alternate spy identity.
That's, of course, why I married you. I always find someone, whether they are male, female, non-binary, non-conforming, who has a secret spy identity. It's the secret to a lasting marriage.
It's not that secret now, though, after just talking about it on the radio. Both of our listeners know, so we'll have to kill them.
Yeah, both of you out there, we know where you live. So on that note, I'm going to close out the show and give a special thank you to our guest, Isabel. Very brave of you to come on the air for the first time and talk about your coming out experience. And maybe we can hear from you again in the future. Hint, hint. And a special thank you to Courtney for also showing tremendous fortitude and coming on the air to talk about a very painful event, which many of us have experienced. I'm a little choked up, actually. And Anthony, I want to thank you for all the hard work that you did on the book review. And I think it's about hug time. I want to thank everyone else, too, for... hug time. Thank you all for tuning in for Trans Talk, this week's edition of The 10th Voice. And remember, you can always send an email with your thoughts and suggestions to the10thvoice@gmail.com. Next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings, and then Every Woman, which will also have me, Fiona, and Anthony on it. And you have been listening...
Well, maybe not me. I'm under the weather a bit.
Oh, well. And you are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
It is my hope that our coming together today will be one of healing. We are resilient, and we are beautiful.
Join me now for a quick trip around the globe as I introduce you to LGBT nominees for the 61st Grammy Awards.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Lithuania's top court defines residence rights for queer foreign marriages. The annual Women's March traverses intersections.